say greetings, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. In between meal snack, however you want to look at it. In a multiple location station, welcome into Beyond Ringside Sports Radio. From Studio 35, off in the middle of nowhere, and yes, I can see the forest and the trees at the same time. I am the Magic City Motor Mouth, Fast Eddie Lane, welcoming in and back longtime friend of the family, Corner to Corner Wrestling Radio, among other projects in play, Stan Grubb. How you been?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. It's too many projects in play, probably, but yeah, I'm doing good.
Trust me, I understand between the work schedules and everything else. It's like everybody, I've been getting messages going, dude, you were settling into a routine. It's like, dude, life called. That's basically the way it does it. Thank you to everybody tuning in through BeyondRingside.com, ProWrestlingRadio.net, as well as all of the other various methodologies which are still in play. If you're catching us on replay, of course, through YouTube, don't forget this first segment is YouTube exclusive as well. Catch the full episode by coming over and finding us wherever you get your shows. iHeart, Audible, Spotify, you name it, we're out there. Trust me on that one. Got a lot of things to cover. Going to go probably about 60 on this one, so let's go ahead and break right in. You know, Stan, you just can't trust anybody anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we live in a world of uncertainty and unpredictability. What, a month ago, maybe less, we were told we were seeing the end of one legacy, and it seems maybe that was a little premature.
Yep, because as we are doing this at 7:33 p.m. on Sunday, March 13th, about 1 hour ago, ESPN broke what he put on his social media. ESPN's reporting that Tom Brady is allegedly returning, I think it's more than allegedly now, as the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dude, stay retired. Enjoy life. Let it go. But he says he's got unfinished business. Stan?
Yeah, for the folks in the NFC East, that makes you uncomfortable because he romped all over the NFC East this season.
Actually, NFC South.
For the folks in the NFC. Well, I know. I was just about to say, for the NFC South, you're probably groaning. But hey, it's okay, because maybe, possibly, you could be the one that gets that shot that finally retires the legend. I don't know. Maybe. You know, I mean, not that I wish injury on anybody ever, but, you know, hey, I'm a little tired of Brady giving me headaches in Carolina, so yeah.
So, in other words, you're offering somebody the overnight dinner at Waffle House if they can do this for you.
I'm not offering anyone any type of payment except maybe a my stern thank you and perhaps congratulations.
There you go. That works wonders. He says he has unfinished business. The man has got more championship rings than most people can genuinely see in a lifetime, unless you played for 13 NBA teams or a couple of Major League Baseball franchises. And I wish him the absolute best. Like I said, when he announced retirement earlier in the year, I'm just like, chill, relax, unwind, enjoy life. And
yeah, how do you tell a guy like that though, hey, it's time to hang it up. You've won too much, Tom. It's time to relax.
I mean, are you really trying to go for the secondhand fill up here? Are gas prices that high down in Florida that you want to win another Super Bowl just to fill up the tank? I know they are now. Go ahead.
If they pay right, if they give you the right amount of money, I mean, hey, what's wrong with that?
Well, I posted a little double play meme on my personal social media and got a great response from it, too. I originally created, years ago, Facebook had a little correlation with Bitstrips, which a lot of people still use in the form of Bitmoji. Well, they had one for Bitstrips that was kind of like the panhandler on the side of the on the sidewalk, blah, blah, blah. And I, on the little sign, I put, Will DJ for food. I saw that when I was going back through my stuff the other day, and it's like, no, today food wouldn't be enough. We got a DJ for fuel. Or I was going to say gas at first, and it's like, no, that food is an F word. Fuel is an F word, and there's another F word to display the whole circumstance right now. So I modified the meme to be, or the cartoon to be, Will DJ for fuel. I put that up 2013 versus 22, and fortunately, everybody got the joke. I'm sure that there are others going, yeah, man, what are you talking? It's like, don't even start with me. If you want to engage in a conversation of any kind of questionability, do it by voice. Don't do it in a text-based format because emotion does not convey, and I would like to hear your response when I tell you to bite me.
I mean, I can't fault the guy. Here's the thing. For years, man, for years, he and the Patriots were the bane of the NFL's existence.
Especially the AFC. I mean,
yeah, yeah. And people just relished in an opportunity to put him down.
Yep.
So there was the competitive side of, we're going to shut Brady up. And then there was the, oh my God, it's Tom Brady. And then you come to realize after he goes to Tampa Bay and gets a ring, like, oh wow. This is perhaps, yeah, no, not perhaps anymore. This is the greatest quarterback to ever lace up the cleats. I'm sorry. I mean, you've heard me many times. Not a big fan of the Patriots or Belichick, but you can't deny that Tom Brady is who he says he is. You just can't, especially with all the talent that he's going to have around him. And if you don't think Tampa Bay is going to pony up the funds and say, hey, Gronk, you know, listen, we heard you may have been looking there, but we're bringing Tom back. We're bringing everybody back. Let's do one more try. And, of course, he's going to say, okay, because they're going to back the truck up.
You know, because case point scenario, let's go with Georgia Bulldog football. The quarterback who went for them this year had the opportunity to leave, and he said, no, I'm coming back because I want to do this. I want to see if we can get the national championship. Lo and behold, Georgia wins the national title. The whole team had great motivation. As an Alabama fan, it kind of stings. As a UAB fan, it was really irrelevant because I'm in Conference USA half the time. Which, by the way, the field of 64 for the NCAA men's basketball tournament has been revealed. UAB, congratulations on making the field of 64. Alabama and Auburn in that field as well. But, you know, I don't fault Brady for wanting to come back to see if he can do it one more time. I just feel that there's a time and a place. And we learned that, well, we almost learned it with Brett Favre. To the fact that, because remember when he played for the Jets, then the Vikings, he was one play away from taking them to the next level, both teams. But he was also one play away from getting decapitated by defenses that wanted him out and away from the game. And I think there comes a point in time where you just have to sit back and say, you know something? I'm rich beyond my wildest dreams. My agent is happy. My lawyer is happy. My wife is happy. My kids are happy. Let me just go ahead and go off into the sunset and be happy too. But sometimes that competitive nature in somebody pushes them that one step further to where it's like, did I do everything that I could do? I think, but like I said, if he wants to give this one more shot just to see what happens, my hat's off to him. Just play it smart, play it real, and do your thing. That's it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, he's not in a situation where as a quarterback or as a professional that he can't hang. He's in a position where he's still possibly in the prime of his career. This isn't a Brett Favre situation, you know, where, I don't know, he's throwing a lot of picks this year. No, it really wasn't. He had a really good season. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league right now that can't play half as good as Brady did this past season. So, hey, not to sound like a Brady, you know, a Brady fan, because I don't know if I really am.
He's in our division. No, I'm not.
Right, like, so, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I don't blame him. You know, Peyton Manning is another good example. If Manning wanted to play another season, he could.
Not really.
But, you know, he was ready to be done. John Elway was ready to be done, right? John Elway was hurting. He'd had years and years. Tony Romo was beat up.
Well,
Brett Favre was past his point. Tom Brady, really good shape still.
Well, see, Brett Favre was in better condition than Peyton Manning was And now Eli was in better condition and shape than Peyton was. Because Peyton was falling apart of the seams, and I'm sorry, he couldn't throw a boulder and hit a Rubik's Cube. I mean, because his arm strength was seriously declined. His mobility was worse than Dan Marino. But I know, I just had to go and bring Dan Marino into the mix. All my Dolphin faithful out there are going to be growing. What's up, Shane?
Well, there's a certain nemesis that's a Dolphins fan, too.
Yes, he is, as in our, you know, Beyond Ringside alumni and friend, and, of course, Beyond Ringside family, the Oracle of Ominous, the Wicked Nemesis, huge Dolphins fan. And I know that with situations that transpired down there starting in the off season, he's probably got a couple of choice things to say, too. And we'll probably, who knows? Speaking of other people that have choice things to say, old friend of the family, I'm doing this live, kids, old friend of the family, Smart Rage Corn and Champkin told me to tell you hello, and he got in touch recently, and who knows, Smarky may just be making an appearance on VR Radio somewhere down the road.
Wow. I haven't heard from him in forever. I text him every now and again. He is, boy, he's doing the Lord's work out there in Illinois.
Oh,
he's, he's still doing a lot of hard work, and I got to salute him for it. He just got, not to put his personal business on the street, but he just got certified not too long ago as an EMT. He's kicking ass.
Yeah, exactly. I'm proud of the boy. Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, Corey's been doing well for himself up there.
Yeah.
And but like I said, you know, if we're not careful, if we say his name three times, we could actually conjure him up. You know this, right?
Much like Beetlejuice, if it happens, it's all not my fault.
Oh, it's all your fault. I'm blaming you.
Have you been talking to my wife?
No. Not this week.
That's smart.
There was a medical joke I was going to make right there, but I'm not going to, considering where I'm going next. Of course, one of the top stories going around the world right now in the field of professional wrestling, of course, is the factor that as of earlier today, Scott Hall is on life support, reportedly after three cardiac incidents. And some are saying heart attacks and some are not being that specific, but right off the bat, you can't help but feel just like you always wish there was something you could do in that circumstance. And I know that the entire Beyond Ringside family, of course, holding Scott Hall up in our highest thoughts and highest regard, and hoping for as solid a recovery as possible. I know I'm sounding very trepidatious about the way that I'm putting that out there, but the fact of the matter for me, unfortunately, is as someone who has had people close to him deal with heart attacks, especially multiples, there's only so much the human body can do, especially after situations like that come into play. And once again, it's like, I'm just, everybody that on social media, a lot of people have even put aside the trolling to sit back and go, yeah, we're hoping Scott gets much better and hoping Scott gets back up and around very quickly and, you know, full of recovery as possible. And like I said, I'm definitely keeping him and his circle, so to speak, which that'll be the next story using that word. But, Stan, your thoughts, Scott Hall.
Yeah, how do you properly look at a guy's career when they're in a position like this? But you have to, right? You recognize he's a Hall of Famer, two-time Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Then you have to look at everything that he did to get up to this point, because to properly recognize Scott Hall, frankly, there's his WWE run, which his Razor Ramon was tremendous and probably Hall of Fame worthy unto itself.
True.
Then his WCW run, which, hey, there's no denying the NWO's magnitude and impact on the industry. Three heart attacks. See, the question becomes, hey, when do you notice there's one heart attack and maybe not continue with the surgery until you can get that under wraps? Like, is it that situation where you can't stop in the middle? I mean, I'm no doctor, of course, so if it turns out that they weren't able to stop, then so be it. But, you know, it will be, God forbid it happen, but it will be a huge loss to the industry as a whole if he doesn't kick out of this one. I mean, three heart attacks is a lot to kick out from as it is.
And he, looking at the man himself, it's Scott Hall, the man, not just the performer. Here's a guy that, you know, he overcame addiction in a pretty major way. He was able to go to the accountability crib with Diamond Dallas Page, get himself in proper health and proper order to kick the addiction to so many types of alcohol and drugs. It's a huge story. It's going to be one of those moments like, you know, God forbid it happen anytime soon, but when Jake Roberts passes, you'll have to talk about the rise and fall and then the resurrection. You know, not to steal a copywritten title, but the rise, fall, and resurrection of Jake the Snake. You could say the same for Scott Hall. I mean, it's a scary thing. I've definitely my thoughts are with his friends and family as well.
Like I said, I'm personally praying for the best, and I know there's a world of people out there that are doing the same thing. So once again, just holding Scott Hall up and hoping and praying for the best. I did use the word circle for a minute there, and going on to a much lighter topic, so to speak. I got tickled at a number of the message boards and social media responses after what happened with AEW and Chris Jericho forming the Jericho Appreciation Society. Okay, kids, let's put this in proper perspective. It would have been too damn easy to call it Inner Circle 2.0. That would have been the consummate low-hanging fruit. I wouldn't have gone with the Jericho Appreciation Society, but it's Chris Jericho, and he's the one who's in the position of being on the road to being a legend and other superlatives of that nature. But I just kind of wonder if Vince still has a lock on Festival of Friendship. I mean, really?
Why is my name on this, Kevin? I think looking at what Jericho is doing right now, the turn itself was great.
Oh, yeah.
The old saying, as you coined, never waste a heel turn. This one was great, but, you know, there's going to be so many jokes about circle jerks now. It's just going to be unruly. And the Jericho Appreciation Society, Jericho just needs to stop thinking stuff up on the fly. Someone needs to just go, no, let's find a different name. Or no name at all until, you know, I don't know, something creative hits you. Just a thought.
I mean, I'm guilty of looking at certain things when people come up with faction names. I'm guilty of looking at the acronyms or the acronym possibilities. Didn't see it in Jericho Appreciation Society. Although there is an extended version of a name they could use to actually spell something else out, but starting out with Jericho Appreciation, think about it. But I mean, it's like, I just can't get past and okay. The other side of my brain was screaming when I started thinking acronyms, and I'm sorry, nothing can top from Phineas and Ferb ALCA, organization without a cool acronym.
I would have been fine with them just saying, you know, like the Circle of Jericho or something. You know what I mean? Just completely redoing it and saying it was him all along. You know, it was me all along, Austin. Something like that. Instead of, this is the Jericho Appreciation Society. So basically what you're saying is you found a bunch of marks in the back and said, hey, be in my stable. That's what that reeks of. That reeks of a message board saying, you should call it the Jericho Appreciation Society. That's a great idea. Like, no one just checked him and said, hey, wait. Like, Tony doesn't just, can you imagine when they come back, you know, from that promo? Tony just looking at him like, I don't know.
give me something I can trademark and make money off the logo, please. That wasn't it. It looks
good. I'll say this, the logo on the t-shirt does look cool.
Oh, really?
I'll give him that.
I have not seen that.
See if I can send that to you while we're talking about it here.
No worries. You know, it's funny because I look at, and this is me being in a different realm as opposed to a lot of people who call themselves pro wrestling fans. And I agree with the concept that the tribalism has to basically stop. But even Beyond Ringside family member Mark Mabo Bowman and I were talking last night about a troll that he ended up getting into a debate with over on TikTok. Something you will never hear me do. A debate with someone
There's
on
trolls
TikTok.
On TikTok?
Oh. Nice attempt there. Well done. Nicely played. And because this is one of those people, he got into a discussion with somebody who is all WWE and AEW blows. It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean by the tribalism. You're either one or the other. And I'm sorry, when somebody wants to come at me in that particular regard, they're going to be severely disappointed because AEW does stupid stuff just like WWE. WWE does good things just like AEW does. They're, I mean, both teams make, both squads, both companies make mistakes. So, guess what? Get over it. I mean, I got over that crap a long time ago in WWE versus WCW. Both teams make mistakes. Finger poke of doom. That's all I'm going to say. But I went back and looked over the timeline of chronology. When the Inner Circle was first formed, Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger, former world champion in WWE, amateur wrestler, brings the credentials, MMA fighter, brings the credentials. People knew who the hell he was. And a lot of people said he's better as the strong, silent type. Guess what he was in the Inner Circle? The strong, almost silent type. Then, I'm trying to figure out, are you getting that distortion on your end?
I got a little bit of distortion. I think it came from my end. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But from there.
It was my Facebook.
Ah.
It slows my browser down.
Makes sense. Facebook does so much. That's including their stock going down too. Aw, damn. Zucker twits losing money. Of course, that's all Meta too. But coming back to it real quick. Proud and Powerful. Santana and Ortiz. Very well-known tag team. To me especially, because I followed them in that particular regard. Granted, they weren't as widely known because they did a lot on Impact and other shows. They weren't in that WWE bubble. Sorry, kids. But there is life outside of WWE. Trust me on that. So, Inner Circle, to a great degree, helped elevate Santana and Ortiz. And the one who benefited from it the most, of course, Sammy Guevara. And basically helped elevate him to where he's referred to as one of the pillars of AEW. So, my question right now, since it is Hager and Jericho spearheading, can this new faction genuinely elevate 2.0 and Garcia to a higher level? Or is this going to end up being more of a placeholder? What you think, brother?
I mean, I think when you look at what the possibilities are for it, when you really start to stare at all of the different possibility and the options, Jericho and Hager, you could see the reason for that. You could see the reason for all of these different pieces, but I think a lot of what happened is they just weren't sure what to do. You know, people run into this all the time. I think a lot of people see it is you just don't know where you're supposed to be going with it. You know, it feels like there's supposed to be a rationale behind Proud and Powerful, stupid name, talented tag team. You know what I mean? It's you have to be able to make sense out of it. There's got to be logic. And I feel like Guevara benefited. Hager, like you said, strong, silent type, should have stayed that way. I felt like when he ran down and did the whole, like, what are you doing? Like, that no, that doesn't work for you, sir. You know, stick to, I don't know, something else. Anything else. Not talking or acting. Just go out there and fight. But you have to have these options. You have to be able to really weigh it. And I just don't think they did it very well. But, you know, at the time, it was a good idea.
I think it was a good idea. I think the execution was a little haphazard But once again, in this circumstance, let's put the world in proper perspective from my side of the board. I just, or my side of the coin. Hey, there's that phrase again. Sometimes you just have to roll the dice and hope that you hit that frontline winner seven or make your point before you hit craps. And it's always a, anytime you're trying to bank on something, especially a swerve turn, which is going to be a multi-pronged situation where not only was it the swerve, it was the turn, as well as the factor of the new faction being organized and put together. The overall perspective I've got is, and once again, the question in play is like, that's the major point. How well will it elevate the newer people coming on board, which is going to be 2.0 and Garcia? And then from there with, I'm just going to go ahead and say this one, the bump that Eddie Kingston took through that table just scared the living crap out of me, Stan.
Yeah, if it wasn't for, I want to say it's Chase Parker. I might have jacked up his name. If it wasn't for him helping him rotate properly, he could have died. That's the sad and scary truth of it. If there's a lesson we learned from Friday, I'm sure we'll talk about that here soon.
That's
but
next.
If he was so blessed. That's an angel on your shoulder kind of moment that somebody has the wherewithal to go, oh, he's not turned the right way, and move him. And it's a very subtle thing he does, but that adjustment he did probably saved Eddie's life.
More than likely. More than likely, yeah. Because a lot of people didn't catch it the first time when they were watching it. Hager had him up and ready for the power bomb, and lo and behold, it's like, hold up, slight adjustment, okay, yeah. Go. But he still came down high on the shoulders, though.
Very, very. And that's the thing that these guys have got to remember, and this was the case at Revolution also. These guys have to remember that you've got to slow down. One of my biggest criticisms of Jade Cargill right now is just not slowing down. She has so much potential, and she's definitely a star. I give them credit. They took a virtual unknown and made her a star, and that's awesome.
Okay.
But her matchup with Ty, that first 5 minutes, you know, Brian said last week on C2C that he felt like it was Ty's fault. But I stick to my guns. I'll die on this hill. Jade's got to slow down. And if she doesn't, she's going to hurt somebody.
Jade, okay. Regular listeners know, guess what? Here comes Eddie version 47 on this one. One, she is a different style and type of in-ring talent.
Definitely.
She needs to accommodate for that style and her physique. She doesn't need to be doing things at 100 miles an hour because every time she kicks into a higher gear, something goes wrong. And it just doesn't look good. She's still at that point on the microphone where she seems like she's starting to pick it up little by little, but I'm at a point where I just mute. It's like previously on AEW where they had Ty and Anna getting ready to talk, or Ty ready to talk, and here comes Cargill to do the interruption. It's like, fast forward, click, advance a minute, get past it. I don't want to hear it. Because in my head, and this is something plain and simple, I'm very open-minded with new talent. But when it is a simple case, and look, I wasn't the biggest Goldberg fan either, so stop right there, kids. When you're putting that jetpack on someone who's not ready for it, it doesn't look good. Her promo... go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, there's just so many possibilities. The pump kick that she does, for example, looks great. She's got leg extension that goes on for days, and that's something she should certainly use. But when you basically do that on the run, and, you know, she could have very easily broken Ty Conti's jaw.
Two words, Goldberg heart.
Say again?
Goldberg heart.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is a perfect point. If you've got, you know, that kind of physical stature and build, absolutely you should, you know, you should highlight that. But do it in a way that makes sense. Slow the hell down. because Conti is fast. And maybe to that extent, I have to agree with Brian and say that she was moving really fast. But as the taller, bigger, you know, part of that matchup, part of that equation, you've got to be the person in charge. You're not the Undertaker. You don't sell on the run. It's just not going to happen for you that way.
Another perfect example. Let's take it over to this one, and I'm going to go back for this. Mm-hmm. When Rey Mysterio would face the Big Show, Big Show has his gear.
Mm-hmm.
Rey had to shift his and accommodate for Show's stature, strength, mm-hmm. and speed. It's not Jade Cargill's responsibility to speed up to Ty Conti's level, check your ego at the door. It's Ty who needs to adjust her style to Jade. Remembering that Ty does have a little bit more experience, a lot, in certain areas of in-ring performance than mm-hmm. Cargill does. Ty should be able to make that adjustment. Jade is too young in this industry, period. Too young in this industry to be able to make those adjustments herself. And when somebody who doesn't, okay, posing, she has the flexibility to a great degree. But as far as just in-ring mobility, she's still working on that. And I think she started to, look, I'm just going to go ahead and shoot for a hot second. I think she's becoming complacent. She's got that title on her. You're doing great. You're doing wonderful. It's like, kid, not really.
Well, and you mentioned she's extremely young in the business. So is her manager, Mark Sterling. I like Mark. I think he's a great talent, but he's only 3 years in, 4 years in.
Some people
are not ready to be directing somebody like that.
If you're a traditional, like Grand Wizard style manager, I'm going back for that one. Look it up, kids. When it comes to managers and or valets, people put in different classifications because managers for the longest time were not used on the national scene, at least not heavily. You're right. Starting to see more managers come back. I mean, it's case point scenario. You had FTR fire Tully recently on camera because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the Pinnacle is starting to dissolve. You have everything going in different directions with FTR. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this, and I don't mean disrespect to Tony Khan and his booking style or the way that the television show's being done. Based on what I've seen from the last two episodes of Dynamite, one and a half episodes of Rampage, as well as the pay-per-view, the company's starting to flounder a little bit, and I'm not sure exactly why. It's not keeping my attention like it normally does. And this is 2 weeks running. I'm just going to go ahead and shoot on this, kids. We are going to bring up Big E in a second. We started to. We made that illusion where it's more than an illusion, but it's reality. But I want to hit this real quick. And Cargill is part of the problem. So is a number of on-screen talents. Because of the fact that the way that they have the show formatted, sure, we may go straight into a talk segment. We may go straight to an in-ring segment. I would prefer, wait a minute, it depends on the storyline that they're putting out there. So I have to check myself for a second. If it's a hot storyline that they're going to do an opening yak segment about, great, wonderful, love it, run it. If you feel that the need is more in place to start with a match, great, wonderful, run with it. It's like when starting out the show recently where Tony Schiavone interviewed Tony Khan, and Tony Khan brought up the I've just bought Ring of Honor. I about fell on my ass laughing when he followed up with, no, Shane's not here. It's like, really? How many people actually caught that? But going from there, it seems more haphazard. And way too many interview/talk segments jumped together in the middle of the show. I know you've only got the 2 hours, but this is something that I've been saying. It's like, okay, now we've got Swerve Strickland. Now we got Buddy Murphy or Matthews. Sorry, my bad. And
same difference to me.
And really, and who else just made their foray into AEW?
Jeff Hardy.
Thank you. Tony, close the checkbook for 5 freaking minutes. You've got too much B and top level talent.
And he's going to run into a problem soon with how to spread his talent out. People criticized WWE for all of the releases they did, and admittedly, hey, they were bloated, but they at least had multiple brands they could put people on.
Yeah,
Rampage and Dynamite is only 3 hours of TV, and I don't care what anybody says. Not everybody fits on Dark and Dark Elevation.
True. Very true. And this is something that I've been worried about for the longest time. It's like, you know, I love a good conspiracy theory, and it would not surprise me in the least if Vince would have sat back and said, I'm speaking to Nick Khan. It's like, let's see how many of these Tony Khan will open up that checkbook and I'm spend money on. So far, Tony Khan's played right. If that's the case, then Tony's played right into Vince's hands on that. But granted, Tony's dad, multi-billionaire. But even Shad Khan's going to sit back and say, where's my ROI eventually going to be? Because I don't care who you are. If you are a business person in any stretch of the imagination, you have to look. If you're running a business, if it's a hobby, that's one thing. If it's a pastime, that's one thing. If it's a business, you have to look for ROI. What is my return on the investment going to be? I mean, if I'm a money mark and I just want to go ahead and hotshot a couple of shows, it's like, hey, guess what? I just ran a show with such and such and such and such. How much did you make? I don't care. I had such and such and such and such. It's like, okay, so this is your hobby. This is something you want to do for you and your ego. Okay, fine. It's not a business. You can call it a business. But if you're doing it to placate your ego or your fandom, guess what? It's not a business in the truest sense of the word. Tell you what, we're about to hit that break real quick. Stan, any follow-up comments you want to make about anything I just threw out there, the entire potpourri?
I feel like with Khan, you know, buying Ring of Honor was a great step in the right direction. If he does it right, he has an opportunity to spread his talent easier this way. But there's so many cooks in the kitchen right now. And maybe that's part of the reason we haven't seen Cody, if that's truly a shoot. Who knows?
Convenience. You never know. There's something I really wanted to say right there, but I'm not going to. Maybe Cody will show up. Yeah, maybe Cody will show up on the new season of Heels with Stephen Amell.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah,
that is a great show. Love that show.
It really is. I mean, they did a great job putting that one together. I've really enjoyed watching it. It's like, there are some shows, I mean, it's like, personally, I didn't realize until recently I had Stars on Demand, so I was able to start binging Heels and really enjoyed it. I
want to know if Michael Hayes signed off on that character that swings his dong around on the airplane.
Da-doom-doom-sh. Or if Ric Flair signed off on it.
It's a mixture of the two. That's what it is. I mean, look at the guy, the guys, the way he talks, the way he dresses, the obvious, you know, I mean, it's a perfect amalgamation. That's a word, right?
Or in DJ terms, it's a mashup.
There you go. It's a mashup. Let me do what the kids say. It's a mashup.
There you go. Well, folks, tell you what, we're going to unmash this part of the episode and head straight for a break real quick. Stan and I will return in just a moment. Right now, as I say, this is Beyond Ringside Sports Radio. Let's check in with our friends over at Calm Peak. Be right back.
Are you looking for premium-grade CBD products and supplements from a source you can trust? Then visit Calm Peak at calmpeak.net. We offer premium-grade broad and full-spectrum CBD products made from U.S.-grown hemp and lab-tested to ensure quality and safety. And we provide a 90-day money-back guarantee. We've won the Best in Show Edible Award, Best Minor Cannabinoid Formulation, and Best Delta 8 Tincture 2021. Go to calmpeak.net to see our full line of premium-grade CBD products and supplements, as well as beverages, apparel, and more. calmpeak.net.
When planning your next party or special event, insist on the best. 4-Range Entertainment is a professional entertainment company providing a full range of services. From professional disc jockeys and MCs to catering and photography, when the details of your special day must be perfect, call us first. Wedding receptions, corporate parties, school functions, birthday celebrations, and more. We also have Birmingham's largest selection of karaoke tracks available. With over 40 years combined experience, 4-Range Entertainment can provide you with the talent and professionalism you need and deserve to make your next event one you'll never forget. For more information on the full range of services we offer, call 533-HITS. That's 533-HITS. Or check us out on our website at fullrangeentertainment.com.
This is Jim Cornette. You are locked into the show of all time, Beyond Ringside.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling fans from around the world, I'm Lightning Mike Quackenbush, the master of a thousand holes, and you're locked in for Beyond Ringside.
Hey, everybody, this is Terry the Rockefeller, and you're locked in with Beyond Ringside.
Everybody, it's the Chocolate Ice Cream Dream, the Backcourt Bandit, Sugar Dunkerton, letting you know that you are locked in to Beyond Ringside. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Do not turn that dial.
As promised, welcome back into Beyond Ringside on this 13th day of March. Fast Eddie Lane over here in Studio 35, and you know there are not 33 others. We'll work on the math a little bit later. Fast Eddie Lane over here, Stan Grubb, welcome back in.
Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure to be here on the Beyond Ringside Radio Network.
How are things going over on Corner to Corner, by the way?
Things have been actually going really well. We have been incredibly busy on Monday and Tuesdays. We made the switch off of Sundays, basically off of time, from personal stuff to really when I was in school. I just always had things happening on Sunday, so just things compiled. So we moved. We changed our schedule a little bit. We kind of took some gloves off, so there's not as – really, there's not any censorship there. Frankly, I got tired of fixing it. and honestly, I feel like and I think our listenership would agree. I feel like people appreciate just a more of a raw approach. Now, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it gets a little bit much, and I think they tune out. But
in other words,
nine times out of ten.
In other words, Brian wouldn't stop making the fecal references.
Oh no, it was my fault too.
Oh really?
It wasn't just him. you know me. If I get into the right frame of mind, I'm good. I won't worry about it for an entire show. But it only takes one time for either me or somebody else to slip, and then it's all day long. And then you know it doesn't matter. I don't have enough time to edit in that fashion. So
I understand the concept. I really do.
Yeah.
Let's start. Let's run some of these rapid fire real quick. And I'm not disrespecting anybody or any topic out there. There's just a lot of meat on the bone in as far as topics this week. And I want to. I want us to try to hit as many as we can in this next segment. First off, thank you WWE and SmackDown to coming to my home market, Birmingham, Alabama, this past Friday night for the live broadcast. A lot of good things happened. A lot of friends of mine were giving me as aired reports, and it's like I wasn't home. I decided to go ahead and work Friday night. So therefore I had opportunities to go to the show. There was a part of me that wanted to go to the show, and I'll cover a little bit of that in a minute. Of course, one of the big stories coming out of it was the unfortunate circumstance with Big E. And I believe the number now have been two vertebrae that have been fractured because of a bad bump that he took or a bad fall that he took during the show. As a, if you want to say botch occurred, you can do that. But once again, accidents happen in this industry. I feel horrible that it happened to E because I know that, you know, one of the most popular characters on WWE programming. And my heart goes out to him because he's still been, even after the loss of the WWE Championship, he was still going strong. And then, of course, the reformation because of the injury to Xavier Woods, the reformation of the team, more of the New Day, technically speaking, keeping that in the spotlight with E and Kofi. And, you know, kind of like picking up where they left off the last time Xavier was hurt. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. But of course, you know, the immediate story was he broke his neck. And I know understood because people were saying he's being stretchered out. He's not, they're being very cautious with him. And then social media took over and you got a chance to see exactly what happened. And it's like, damn, that hurt me. And I was watching it on a phone or a tablet. Yeah, no, it was my iPhone at the time. And then I saw it a little bit more on my screen at the house. And it's like, good Lord, that could have been a whole lot worse than it was. And it's not me blowing it off in any capacity. But yeah, to find out, yes, two fractured vertebrae is bad enough to begin with. It could have been three. It could have been more. I was expecting probably at least three. To find out that it's two, that's a blessing in disguise. And yes, you can call it that, but that's just, that's one of those that actually could have been avoided. I hate the fact that it wasn't avoided, and I'm glad that it's not as bad as it could have been. Stan, I'm sure you've seen it by now more than 100 times. Go for it, brother.
You know, this is one of those things where, there's a lot of different stories all in this same situation. Biggie, say what you want about the New Day. I feel like he finally came into his own when he wins the WWE title. And I feel like he got railroaded losing that championship because he just wasn't allowed to blossom any further than he already had. So fast forward, we're now headed to the road to WrestleMania. We've got Ridge Holland, who's been renamed Luke. And then Pete Dunne, who's been renamed
Butch. Really?
Oh, my God. I said it in many, many chats and on Twitter. WWE has no creative juices left. Not a single drop. Luke and Butch. Really? Really, Vince? This is where we are at? So, away from that for a moment. Let's look at this suplex that Ridge Holland throws. Hey, this is one of those situations where it just didn't happen the right way. Remember earlier we talked about Kingston going out for that powerbomb, and I think it was Parker that just happens to catch him at the right second to reposition him just a little bit.
Yep.
And I said, saving his life. And here's a situation where Big E was lucky, but not as fortunate in that regard because the way he landed was directly on the top of his damn head. Yep. And the most uncomfortable silence you can hear is when he's laying there and he knows he immediately knows. And you see him try to, you know, wiggle his hands a little bit. Thank God, you know, he didn't get paralyzed. But he laid down and immediately you knew he's not getting up. I feel for Ridge Holland in this situation. Obviously, I feel for Big E, but I feel for Ridge Holland because this is one of those situations where, honestly, it's a holy S moment. You know, like I can imagine him going backstage, looking around, feeling like he had just basically pooped in Vince McMahon's Cheerios kind of thing because this is one of those mistakes where you're branded if you're not careful.
Exactly.
And I mean, how do you recover from that? If it was me, I would feel scarred, like internally, that I just could have killed someone.
And once again, it comes down to a part of the conversation we were having about Jade Cargo a little bit earlier. People have a tendency in the roar of the crowd and the rush of the moment that you want to try to go a little bit more above and beyond, and you're under pressure to do that. And there comes a point where you have to sit back and say, yeah, I need to slow down. I'm not saying that this was or wasn't one of those moments. I'm just, and Ridge is going to end up kicking himself and again and again and again and again because of this. We all have those moments that we endlessly persecute ourselves over. And this is where I look to the locker room right now of WWE to help this kid keep his head on straight.
This is where Sheamus has to step in and say, listen, this could have gone a lot of different ways.
Sheamus is in that perfect position as the vet in this or veteran in this circumstance. It's like, and of course Kofi does too. There's going to be a little bit of resentment from Kofi because, you know, unless you genuinely see what happened from point A to point B, that you have a preconceived notion about what the hell. And then once you get a chance to really see, it's like, this could have happened any number of different ways. And we're, I mean, look, he's going to make a full recovery. Of that, I have no doubt. I don't know. I think the last word was surgery was not going to be needed. I think that's the last thing I read. It's just going to take time. He's going to miss Mania. Legit. If he doesn't miss Mania, he's not going to be in the ring. And that's okay. I'm hoping that he makes a full recovery. I want to see him back in the ring, kicking ass, taking names, being himself. Which I have to agree with the factor of his WWE championship reign. I think that he was genuinely slighted in that particular regard. But, you know, once again, it's WWE. I'm not trying to use that as a blow off. I'm really not. It's just there are times when the creative, so-called creative team, doesn't know how to properly push and or market certain individuals. Don't read too much into that because we've seen it happen with different types of people. And I'm going to leave that part alone. I mean, case point scenario, they still didn't know what the hell to do with Cesaro, so they just released his ass.
Well, I mean, this is a situation where you can say it from two sides of the coin, right? Either side. You could say it's just an overall inability to manage talent. I think we'd all agree there.
Yeah.
And also an inability to manage talent of a certain race.
Well,
I think that's also true. You know, the diversity score on WWE is higher than that of AEW's. Sorry, Tony Khan, it's true. But they're still not doing a great job.
Then how come they're able to genuinely keep somebody like Bobby Lashley at that top tier?
That's a great point, but here's what I would identify for that. That is attributed to Bobby Lashley staying above what many talent do, and that's giving up. Bobby Lashley fights. Look at a guy like Dolph Ziggler. Aside from this past Tuesday, Dolph Ziggler has been an autopilot for at least 4 years.
But he's a real good hand.
That's a great, another good point, okay? Bobby Lashley is a standout talent. Now, I've never been a huge Bobby Lashley fan. It's just never really been my thing. But to not recognize that he has such a huge upside, even now, late in his career, you've got to utilize him.
Later.
But you can't take away, you know, from a guy like Big E, who is extremely young, comparatively speaking, and still not utilized properly.
No,
and for the record, he could recover completely his neck, but be in the ring, I doubt.
It depends. I haven't seen the x-rays, and therefore I cannot make a qualified, educated assessment. But see, you make a reference to some, you know, there were people who used to put that little tag about the Hurt Business being a great comparison contrast to the Four Horsemen. I was one of those because you have
they certainly could have.
You have those gentlemen coming out in full suits, carrying themselves with that swagger that the horsemen carried themselves with, and displaying the attitude that the horsemen had. I felt that WWE screwed the pooch when they broke up the Hurt Business as early as they did. That faction still had so much battery left in the, plain and simple, so much juice left in the battery. And I think they cut that short. They could have genuinely done a lot more all the way across the board. And you don't have to have belts on everybody every second of the day for them to be, because the fun is in the chase. For me, a lot of the fun is in the chase. Once your babyface, your franchise good guy gets that title, well, guess what? Now they got to get it. And that means that your heels, your rule breakers, villains, whatever, Rudos have a chance to be that. I'm going to go ahead and use the Guerreroism. They can lie, they can cheat, they can steal to get their way back up to the belts. Mm-hmm. But there was so much more meat on the bone with the Hurt Business. And when they came out a few weeks ago, and I thought for a minute, it's like, can we pick this back up where we left off? And Bobby Lashley goes, I don't need you guys. And I went, damn.
Well, that was a problem of short-sightedness. Now, like I said, I feel like they don't have a lot in the diversity department, and that may or may not be true. But this is just overall, from what you said, like about Cesaro, it's just mismanagement of talent in general. You had a group that easily could have been heel or face. It didn't matter.
They were
actually
both
extremely popular and getting a positive reaction from crowds.
They walked that line. They were Austin Rocket walking that line.
Very much so. And with the right tandem, they could have really, really made some real powerful moments. Like when they had their brief interaction with the New Day, come on. I mean, that's money.
Oh, it is. That was a license to print money, plain and simple. But, you know, you've had other people released. You've had other people who have been relegated down to, I mean, it's like, how long did it take Finn Balor to get back up into a certain realm after, he'd been back on the main roster for how long? And it took him.
What about Ricochet?
Exactly. I mean, we finally got him, and somebody, the thing was WWE, who released a graphic earlier today. Ricochet is the only one, or the one and only, who has held the U.S., Intercontinental, and North American championships. Nice touch. But by the same token, you know, I don't really want to, because it's a rabbit hole that we could spend probably 6 hours talking about.
Oh, sure.
And different people are going to have different perspectives. There is no one-size-fits-all perspective as the so-called, I say so-called, not meaning to blow it off, but it's like there's so many different ways that it's being described. But we could have a six-hour conversation about not just pro wrestling, but football, baseball, basketball, hockey, rugby, tennis, you name it. That card, the diversity card, gets played sometimes well, sometimes horribly, in every part of our culture around the world lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I had a conversation with a colleague about women's pay in soccer. You know, they just recently had this court hearing for having their pay basically to be equal with the men. But what they were finding was, in the process of getting ready for this trial, that they were already making more.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And that's where a perfect example of, okay, you may have meant well when you started this fight, but even Hope Solo said that it was disappointing to see this going on because they weren't fighting the right fight.
Right.
And that's the thing. Financially, they were already overcompensated.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that's the truth.
Yep.
From a statistic standpoint and a draw standpoint, and that's all you can base this off of, they were being overpaid. So the court system basically said, you know what, you guys figure it out. Fix it. And I salute to them, because to make a call on that, imagine being the sitting judge on that hearing and saying, yep, you're right. You guys need more money. Excuse me, you ladies, you women need more money. Or the opposite direction. Nope. We're going to take money away from the women. No. I can't blame him at all for him going to the attorney saying, y'all need to Scooby-Doo this crap. Like that.
Ooh.
That, to me, love it. Because that's what should have happened. They should have sat down and did it. Now, the settlement that they came out with, $24 million. Sorry, that's a drop in the bucket for what, you know, athletic associations need nowadays to make a correction. But, you know, it was a stupid move. But that's a good example of that kind of card being played in a bad situation.
$24 million? I think Megan Rapinoe spends that money on much on hair color in a year.
Well, I think that's CM Punk's first year contract. I'm not sure.
Oh, speaking of, okay, I'm not going to use this word as a realm for the U.S. women's soccer team. I'm going to use this word because there's a megaton of athletes that are overpaid to begin with.
Oh, you mean Major League Baseball?
Look at the sports realm all the way across the board. People are getting paid millions of dollars to play kids' games.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really want me to get started on this?
And I love the Nationals. Yeah, I love baseball. I don't love $100 million salaries.
I don't either.
I'm sorry. 182 games a year.
Okay.
And you're going to... Come on. Just give me a break.
Okay. How much is Scott Boras making off every contract that he signs?
Oh, it's got to be a sick percentage. If it's not 30% or better, you know, he's not doing it right.
If it... That's the problem. That's part of the major issue. Hi, kids. Fast Eddie Lane here. We'll talk in a second. Better yet, screw that. Let's talk now. If it wasn't for the fact that certain agents and certain attorney factions are getting paid exorbitant amounts of money, a lot of this wouldn't be a problem because agents and lawyers are robbing the talents that are actually playing the game.
Well, and then you've got a group of people sitting in these union positions, you know, the same group of tired ass athletes that have been sitting in that position for decades. You don't pay them enough for merchandising. But hey, guys, when we tell them this, I'm going to take 10%. Is that cool? Like, thumbs up? No. Why can't these guys just represent themselves? Negotiate your own deal. If you don't like your deal, let it expire. Go away.
Most talent agents take 10, 15, 20% max. There is no reason why some – it's like, okay. But you get snowed into, well, he's worth 30% if he can get me $100 million. No. 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 They are entitled to what – you give them. If this is where, look, I run a mobile DJ service here in Central Alabama. I do wedding receptions, birthday parties, and things of that ilk all around the southeastern U.S., five states. When someone gets in touch with me and says, hey, I've got a lead on a wedding over here in Meridian, Mississippi. How much would you charge to do it? Okay, fine. I give them my number or that amount. They book it for me. I give them between 10 and 15%. Why? Because that is a fair and reasonable amount considering what they've done. They booked it for me, yes. So if it's a $700, $800, $1,000 wedding reception, and I give them a flat rate of $100 as a booking fee. The responsibility for them ends with that booking. The responsibility then comes to me to perform. They've done the gracious part of booking this. So they get that 10 to 15% agent fee. Are they going to come back over? Are they going to come back after and say, well, we heard you made a $200 tip. We want 10% of that too. Hello, middle finger. Show yourself and say hello.
Well, there's some validity to some of these arguments, right? So an organization like, for example, we'll say like the Brewers. The Brewers should have the same opportunity and chance to get a top-tier talent like back in the day, that of a Bryce Harper.
Yeah, you just took my argument that I had with somebody else a couple of days ago, but go ahead, I'll follow up.
Yeah, the Brewers should have that opportunity just as much as the Braves, the Nats, the Yankees, all of them. I agree with that.
Yes.
Every organization should have equal revenue and equal opportunity. But this is not an equal opportunity or equal revenue business.
Correct.
It never will be. You can't be in Milwaukee and expect the same money as Atlanta.
Correct.
It's just two different areas. And for a player to say, for example, if a player gets held back by a coach and they say, we're going to rest Trey Turner. The Dodgers say they're going to rest Trey Turner for the last 3 weeks of the season because he needs to break. Well, what that does is it takes Trey Turner's ability to shine at the end of his contract and potentially renegotiate a deal. I agree with that as a problem. But I don't hold the club responsible for that. I hold the manager responsible for that.
Correct.
Because he's the guy making that call.
But
if ownership isn't making that entire call, if it's the manager making that call, then why isn't the manager held accountable and we get somebody else in there?
At the end of the – now, if you're resting a pitcher for 3 weeks who might make one start per week, so 3 to 4 starts, depending on the rotation and the depth and the number of games involved, is it worth – resting that pitcher for 3 weeks, so possibly 4 starts, maybe depending, at that one shot in the division round or the wild card round. Lo and behold, there's a difference between the mentality of going into a baseball playoff circumstance or the NFL, where it's one game, 1 week. That's why you see week 17, week 18 now, those players getting rested. Okay. It's a funky circumstance, and it's a very deep rabbit hole in that. There's that second time tonight I've used that phrase. But it really is. I mean, because there are so many independent variables involved when it comes down to a playoff run. But see, my main perspective is, yes, the parity, which is not existent between smaller market teams and major market teams. I understand the fact that if you live in LA, you're going to make a certain amount of money. If you live in Green Bay or Milwaukee, you're going to make a certain amount of money because the market size is markedly smaller and the per capita income is for the fans who are coming out to support that team is grossly different. It's like case point scenario. The USFL is back. Birmingham's got another team in that particular regard. We didn't get an XFL team, but we got a USFL team back. Hello, welcome back, Birmingham Stallions. Okay, going back in history to the first time around for the USFL, the Birmingham Stallions technically were one of two teams that were either close to break even or basically being solvent. Birmingham, of all cities. Lo and behold, case point scenario, if it came down to the NFL, it's going to be a big difference between Birmingham, a medium-sized market in the field of, in the realm of broadcasting, versus Atlanta, versus Nashville, which is also considered a mid-major. Birmingham's not even given the consideration of being a mid-major. So it's one of those circumstances. Yep. Up. Oh, did we get him back? Yes, we did. I thought we were about to lose you for a second there. But we're going down, you know. Is it going to ever really be a level playing field in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, all of the above? I don't know. All we can do is the best we can do. And ownership of teams, owners, I want them to make money so they can keep the doors open. But they also have to be fair to the players all the way across the board. And more than anything else, they have to put the fans who are spending their hard-earned money on tickets and concessions and souvenirs and parking. But tell you what, we're actually coming close to. We got about 12 minutes to play with, unless we decide to go for a third segment. So let's go ahead and pop these real quick. Speaking of overpaid, which once again I'm not using that in a denigratory sense toward the athletes who are on the field. I'm using it as, yep, guess what? Read it earlier this week. Fans are going to have to wait a little bit longer to see. And to the person who wrote this article, you're an idiot. You called Dwayne Johnson a WWE legend. He ain't legendary at nothing yet. Okay, sorry. And I used to be a fan of Dwayne Johnson. I just feel he's overhyped, overrated, and damn sure too much pull right now. So fans are going to have to wait to see Dwayne as DC's Black Adam. I hate that. Because this has been something that's been on the books now for over 4 to 5 years. That we should not have to wait an eternity like we had to wait on the last Fast and Furious. Because Dwayne said, well, I don't want that to come out before Hobbs and Shaw comes out. Shut up. I am so over this Dwayne-a-mania. Let it go. I know he's, it's like, how many projects you got going on, kid? More power to you. Make the money while you can. I don't give a rat's ass about Young Rock or any of this other stuff that he's doing. If everybody else still wants to fawn all over and be head over heels, more power to you. But for him to have that much stroke, who gave it to him? Oh my God, he ain't. And yeah, that little opening that he did for the Super Bowl, in my opinion, blue chunks. Sorry.
Jeez, don't hold back. What do you think? How do you feel?
You really don't want me to tell you how I really feel. Trust me. But lo and behold, Warner Brothers announced recently that Black Adam's part of the DC, all of the above universe, as well as The Flash and Aquaman 2 have all have delayed release dates. According to the notes that I have, Black Adam is being pushed back from July 29th to Friday, October 21st. Dwayne also has a role in an upcoming animated movie where he does the voice of Crypto the Superdog, Superman's best friend. Who's going to play Superman now? We don't know, but what the hell? We'll figure that out too. Dwayne took to Instagram to discuss the delays, noting that Black Adam will play in theaters through Thanksgiving and Christmas. So from there, want to wish him the very best. Look, make another 100 million, make another billion. I don't care. Congratulations. Continue success. It's just, it ain't all that in my world. And so once again, I will sit back and throw this one out. Here's one of the main reasons why I'm bringing this up. I still feel WWE is screwing the pooch. They could have gone ahead and refactored everything. I thought they wasted Lashley Lesnar. I really do, because that was a WrestleMania hype quality match, and I think putting it at Royal Rumble was a waste, because it could have done so much more for real fans of pro wrestling as well as. But once again, this ain't pro wrestling. This is sports entertainment. Been a while since you've heard me do that, haven't you? But
it has been a while.
Yeah, and they could have gone ahead and said, Dwayne, guess what? You need to go ahead and adjust your schedule, because we've got AT&T Stadium, which is going to be bigger than the stadium we're using in California. So you and Reigns could have gone this year and actually torn the house down and guaranteed a hard sellout for one of the two nights. But that's just me. I believe in business. I'll give you a minute for rebuttal on that one. Any of the ones you want to play with?
First off, I mean, like him or not, Dwayne Johnson's definitely a legend of WWE. I can see why you feel he's oversaturated the market. I'm with you on that, because he definitely has. But at the same time, I mean, you don't have that meteoric rise, you know, if it's anybody else playing the role of The Rock. So I give him all the credit in the world for that. I will back you on this, though. His open for the Super Bowl was dumb. And honestly, I don't want the XFL and NFL to work together. I want independent football leagues.
Yep.
USFL, XFL. I want them both to be successful, because I want options. Why there's a Pittsburgh and Philadelphia team, but there's not a Washington area or Carolina area team. Ooh. Here we go. Just screwing off the Mid-Atlantic. Thanks, guys. To your point. Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, completely wasted opportunity there. That's a WrestleMania moment. And they blew it.
Yeah.
I agree with what they're doing with Roman. I always have. You know that. I'm a Roman guy. But that situation could have waited until SummerSlam. There's no long-term vision for what's happening right now in WWE. No long-term plan whatsoever.
They're doing it's a two-day mania. It's why we have Luke
and Butch. What's that?
They're doing a two-day mania at AT&T when they don't need to.
Oh, the factor of being exhausted at the end of day one of WrestleMania is already setting into my brain, and I don't look forward to much less doing the countdown to WrestleMania with the guys, you know, and predicting the night one and night two. I don't look forward to that, much less watching either night, because I don't know what I'd look forward to for each night. I'm not looking forward to Steve Austin hitting the kick wham stunner. Sorry, we've seen that. Fightful Select got duped. And I feel bad for Sean Ross Sapp for breaking the story in the first place, because they played him. And he's taking it like a champ, and he's really, you know, basically making lemonade out of lemons. But he got played there. And it was an unfair situation because who's not going to break the story that Steve Austin's going to possibly be in the ring? You're going to break that story.
Obviously, somebody wasn't watching what the hell was going on television, because it was even stated on television that it's going to be Steve Austin at the KO show at WrestleMania, not Kevin Owens versus Stone Cold Steve Austin in a full-scale match. That's what was shown.
Well, yes, but the story broke way before that, before the build. Before the anti-Texas stuff. So the story broke that Austin and WWE were negotiating for him to come back to the ring. And I feel like they sold that to Sean because they wanted it talked about it as a buzz, much like the Cody stuff, before something possibly happens.
See, I understand that, but see, here's the problem that I have, not only with Fightful or Dipstick Dave, which I have to be careful about mentioning that because we'll have that call in, you know what happens, lo and behold, but all of them, the other BR, I forgot what they're called now, oh, Bleacher Report, that's it.
Or, I was going to say, and then I got tugged.
That other BR, we were here first, kid, sorry. But by the same, all these other little sites, all these other shows who just want to have to be the first one to get shit out. Yes, I said that. Hashtag hell damn ass. But they want to be the ones to break the story. You know something? Sometimes it's best to wait to find out what the hell's going on so you don't look like a moron. That's why I've never been of the ilk. It's like, if there's genuine breaking news while we're doing this show live or taping it, then we'll cover breaking news as it occurs. But rumor and innuendo, the Triple H of this industry, hyperbole, hypothesis, and hype, that's what we play with. But when something gets thrown out there, it's like, do I really want to jump on this? Is it confirmed? Is there really a possibility on this?
Oh, he held on to it for weeks. I give him credit. I mean, he held on to it and he sourced. The one thing I'll say about Ross or Sean Sapp is that he does source his work. Good. He always has. That's one thing that the other guy does not do and hasn't done.
Who, Dipstick
in a
Dave?
Long, long time.
You're referring to Dipstick Dave? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean does source his work and he does make sure to make sure that there's some legitimacy behind it. And there was. But I think in this situation specifically, he got played. The Cody situation, you know, that's a roll of the dice reporting it. But think about it. In the 6-month time frame that Fightful has really increased, and they do have a huge footprint right now.
Yeah.
They broke the CM Punk news. They broke the Adam Cole news, which how you let Adam Cole's contract just simply expire.
Because he didn't want to renew it.
The wheel.
He didn't want to renew
it. That's so sad. I mean, I don't blame him.
Remember,
all his friends are getting tired.
Case point scenario. Lex Luger back in the day making that appearance on WWE broadcasting pay-per-view and then turn around and doing Monday Nitro. His contract had expired and he didn't want to renew it.
See, that's the thing. We know because of what he's told us now. And nobody else has disputed it. But what we don't know is what happened with Adam Cole, except from what Adam Cole has said, and that was that he was negotiating. But you shouldn't – it shouldn't be the 11th hour where you're like, all right, Adam, hey, what do you think? 3 years, $4 million a year, what do you think? You know what I mean? It should be done 8 months in advance. And then if he's truly not coming back – then they do what they do anytime somebody leaves the territory. You job him out quietly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they stopped doing it. It stopped making sense. Look what they did to Malakai Black.
Yep.
That's another sleeping at the wheel kind of moment. You can't afford those. With talents like that, you can't afford that. They slept at the wheel with Miro. Firing him was a huge mistake. And when he comes back, because as poor guy's hamstring must have been really screwed up. But when he comes back, he's going to be, again, a money competitor. You just can't keep doing that.
No, you can't. But by the, wait a minute, the hotline's ringing. Man, I knew that sooner or later we were going to get this phone call because we mentioned the
you
name.
You better warm the milk up.
Oh, God, no. Yes, yes. Dipstick Dave, welcome into Beyond Ringside. Yes? You don't like what you're observing. Okay. Well, we understand that. Yes. Well, Dave, do the letters GFY ring a bell? Okay, that'll do.
Easy, that's a trademarked phrase.
I don't give a rat's ass. I don't give a rat's ass. Yes, that was an appearance by Dipstick Dave. Go observe something else, all right? I don't care how many stars you see, okay? Plain and simple. Bye-bye. All right. Dipstick Dave, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all know who I'm referencing. Don't even try it. Tell you what. I see where we are chronologically speaking, and there is so much more that I really wanted to cover, but I've had a fun covering some of the other different stuff and going, I'll go and deep dive on some of these other little issues. Come back and play again sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and do this the old fashioned way. And by the way, before we go, I do want to sit back and say this one. Scorpio Sky, congratulations. My hat's off to you. About damn time. For him to get that championship and more gold, yay, lo and behold, he deserves it. He's earned it. He is genuinely one of the top tier talents in this industry and one of the most overlooked and underrated talents ever in the world of pro wrestling and one of my personal favorites. So for Scorpio Sky to pick up the TNT championship, congratulations. Stan, real quick, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely happy to see the success. And I don't think this week's Dynamite's going to play out the way everybody's expecting. Don't think it's just a given that Wardlow walks away with the title.
Exactly. Also from there, let's run a fast five, so to speak. Number one, the advent of William Regal in AEW broadcasting. Stan, real quick, your thoughts.
If we don't get William Regal screaming blood and guts, then it's all for nothing.
I love what he did on Wednesday night. I thought that he did the ultimate combination of a heartfelt moment and a smooth segue into the full promo. Congratulations. Glad to see William Regal back on television. I think that the tandem of him, Moxley, and Bryan, and whoever else they bring in, I think it's going to be a strong force to be reckoned with. Undeniable? Damn right. From there, the advent of Jeff Hardy onto AEW broadcast programming. Stan?
Yeah, only two brothers would want that one of the brothers dance their way to the ring while the other brother's getting his ass whipped.
Took it right out from under me. We're going to put Jeff Hardy on Dancing with the Stars while he's running in to try to save the stars. So it's like, screw it. I don't care. It was funny as hell. And I'm sitting back going, he's dancing. This is funny as hell. Welcome to AEW, kids.
Big nod of approval, by the way, for Tony Khan. Paying the money and getting the music. That's smart. Smart business.
Well, see, it's an independently owned piece of music. WWE doesn't own it. WWE had to license the music for it to be used. So from that...
pay for it. Pay for the music. It's like Cult of Personality.
Yes. Spend the damn money.
CM Punk. Yes. Just do it.
Spend the money and do business the correct way.
Agreed.
But from there, I mean, I also wanted to hit some of the things of Revolution, but we can do, I mean, it's kind of like that one's been in the books, and I know you've had a chance to talk it over, and I've done a little bit here and there, but nothing really in depth. I thought Revolution was a safe pay-per-view more than anything else. You argue with that one?
No, A-level. I thought it was A-level. Britt Baker is going to need a reboot after she loses this title, most likely this week. And that's a good thing. Let's give her some time off.
I love Thunder Rosa to death. I can really find no genuine holes in the game plan. I think that the match that she had recently, there's some people in the AEW women's division that I just have to sit back and wonder. It's like, are we trying too hard to push these people to a different level than they need to be at or should be at? I like Chris Statlander, great in the ring, vanilla on the microphone. I like Thunder Rosa, great in the ring. Some people are having a hard time identifying with her. And of course, if you follow her Patreon and all the other stuff, it's like, I can really identify. But that was,
I'd like to eat some tacos with her. I know that.
Doom doom.
No, I'm serious. She has a bit where she has tacos with people. I'd love to eat tacos with Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, kind of like I'd like to do that show where you're doing the hot wings.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Me and my indigestion and acid reflux say no.
Oh, no. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, go back and find the second appearance by Gordon Ramsay on that show.
Oh, I love it.
Did not know that peanut butter was a great way to kill the temperature on some of this crap.
I love that one where he's making scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, he just keeps saying F you to the guy. Pretty much. While they're making them.
Pretty much. Tell you what, let's do it old school. Stan Grubb, last call and shameless plug, sir.
Oh, man. Always a pleasure to be part of the Beyond Ringside anything. I always love doing it. Let's see. This week, tomorrow night. Holy crap. Tomorrow night.
We'll be talking about night one of WrestleMania. What's that?
That be market specific. That'll actually be Monday, March 14th you're talking about.
There you go. See, I need you, buddy. I need you to remind me these things because I suck at it. That's right. Monday, March 14th, myself and the guys over at C2CRadioShow.com. We'll be talking about night one of WrestleMania. We'll be talking about 2K22 and apparently, you know, how much better it is. Well, of course, talk about Big E. And who knows? We might even talk about Elden Ring because that's been the flavor of the week this week.
Social media, all of the above.
Yeah, I was catching my breath. C2CRadioShow.com for that. At C2CRadioShow for us and at Stan Grubb pretty well everywhere.
I want to say a very heartfelt thank you to everybody from this past week, whether it was Monday night at the Beer Hog, Tuesday at Still Gastropub, this past Thursday at Mad Pies up in Fultondale. Two nights this week, March 14th, back at the Beer Hog in Pelham, Alabama, 6 p.m. start time for karaoke. The 15th of March, back at Steel Gaster Pub, 7:30 p.m. start time, as I'll have the microphones ready for you to sing some of your favorite songs. Back at Mad Pies on a double shot. That's going to be on Thursday, March 24th and Friday, March 25th. A special Friday night edition up at Mad Pies in Fultondale, USA. Keep your eyes open on FastEddieLane.com in that particular regard. Also, this coming Saturday, March 19th, I have the privilege of DJing providing music for a wedding and reception. Always appreciative of those opportunities. Had a great opportunity this past Sunday, the 6th, as I was emceeing a father-daughter dance at a very historic facility. Thankful for that opportunity as well. Full Range Entertainment, Elvis Rob Productions. I do take bookings for DJ and karaoke through both of those. And I'm sure you've heard the Full Range ad. You can always find me 205-533-4487. That's 533-HITS on the Straight to the Hip hotline. At Beyond Ringside on Twitter, Facebook.com/Beyond Ringside. Facebook.com/Beyond Ringside Live is the fan page. If you go to Facebook.com/Beyond Ringside, yes, I know it says Eddie Lane. That's mainly because Facebook made me change the name a few years ago. Plain and simple. Well, we can't have a business running at the Facebook friend page. F you, Mark Zucker twit. That's all I'm going to say. And everybody under your umbrella. And they just don't like it because I'm not spending money with them because I'm not going to. Hello, Facebook, meet middle finger book. I think I should do that. We need to create a social media network called Middle Finger Book. I like that concept. I like that idea. Once again, friends, BeyondRingside.com is home. ProWrestlingRadio.net is home. And for me personally, Fast Eddie Lane, LAYNE.com is home as well. Greg Troxell, the Hardcore Heartbreaker, returning with us very soon. Shane Knoll's going to be joining back in the family very soon. Got a lot of things on the horizon. Ted Guinness on the way back. Phil Stamper on the way back. You just never know who's going to be on next right here. But until next time, for Stan Grubb.
Never let him see you sweat.
You went for that one. I'm surprised.
I wasn't ready. I was like, say that one.
I gave you 6 minutes to come up. Where is that damn James Storm?
And that's all I could come up with. You're right. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. There it is. Hold on. 3, 2, 1.
So you had all day long to sit back there and think of a promo, and that's the only crap you could come up with?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Storm. I have failed.
I am the Magic City Motor Mouth Fast Eddie Lane. Until next time, adios, das vidanya, hasta luego, upweeder Zane, ciao, sayonara, adieu, adivaderche, farewell, abasenya, adivuan. Until we meet again, aloha means bye-bye. Join us right here next time as we all go beyond ringside. Bye for now.